evening. We're continuing our series looking at prayer, and this evening we're going to be looking at praying by the Spirit. Let's start with prayer. Father, I pray now that as we consider the truth of your word, the work of your Spirit, the promises that we have in prayer, that you would use this time in order to build us up, to give us the confidence and the assurance we need as we pray to you through your Son, by your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we heard in the first two parts of this series on prayer about praying to the Father and then praying through the Son. We heard concerning the Father of how the Father has that fatherly goodness towards us, how he hears the prayers of his children, how he works all things for our good. We've been comforted to know that he loves us. In fact, he knows our needs even before we ask him. Then concerning the Son, we were reminded that this state of assurance before the Father is because of him. We heard of how the Son brought us peace through his death for our sins, how he stands now in our flesh, how he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, the one mediator between God and man, the one who promises that the Father will hear what we ask in his name. But there was someone missing in all of this, someone hidden behind the scenes, without which none of that could happen at all. Someone who, unseen like the wind, comes and goes as he will, quietly and powerfully working. And we are talking, of course, about the Spirit, about the one without whom we would not want to pray, we would not be able to pray, and we would not be heard when we do pray. That's our outline today. Without the Spirit, first, we would not want to pray. Second, we would not be able to pray. And third, we would not be heard when we do pray. So why would we not want to pray without the Spirit? Prayerlessness is our natural state. Fallen man is, on the one hand, too proud to pray, and on the other hand, too ashamed to believe that God would hear us even if we did. And so we need the work of the Spirit to humble us and teach us to call to the Father, to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment, that we might pray to the Father for mercy through the Son. It's the same thing that we heard Zechariah speaking of in that wonderful Old Testament reading, as he looked forward and foresaw the crucifixion of Christ our Lord. Those who crucified him, think about this with me. What was their state? They had just crucified the Lord of glory, and now they're carrying on with their lives as if nothing had happened at all. That Pentecost morning, perhaps, they neither wanted forgiveness nor sought forgiveness. They thought they'd done nothing wrong at all. They mocked the apostles as if they were drunkards. But then the Spirit did his work. Then what Zechariah called here, the Spirit of grace and supplications was poured out on the people, and they looked upon the one that they had pierced, and they mourned and they grieved. As Acts puts it, they were cut to the heart. They cried out for mercy, and the Lord opened to them that promised fountain of forgiveness of sins. Zechariah, I take it here, calls him the Spirit of grace and supplications. Grace, because we need that grace to cause us to be convicted of sin, and supplication to cause us to call out of that sin to the one who can save us. You might think for a moment with me about the difference between King David and King Saul. You remember King Saul? The Spirit departed from him and left him walking in his sin, not wanting forgiveness, not praying for forgiveness, even to the day of destruction. But with David, it was not so. With David, although he too looked lost in his sin, by God's grace, the Spirit worked in his heart. The Spirit brought him to conviction. The Spirit called him to repent of his evil and to pray earnestly to God for forgiveness, as Psalm 51 records. And I wonder if we can identify with David a little bit in that. I wonder if we can think of times when we have been caught up blindly walking in sin, living in sin, treading a path to destruction, but we didn't want to stop, we didn't intend to stop, we didn't realize where we were going. Perhaps it was that deadly evil of pornography or fornication or lust or bitter envy and jealousy or lies or something. And you know what it's like. And we justify ourselves on the left and we try to hide what we're doing on the right, hiding it from men. Of course, clean forgetting that we cannot hide our sins from the God who sees them all. And our repentance quickly becomes meaningless words, doesn't it? Until suddenly, and perhaps you know this, until suddenly something happens and that spirit of grace moves. Suddenly, perhaps a little bit like Dom felt that day, we feel the conviction of sins, the eyes of our hearts are open and we are turned to pray. We want to pray, we want to cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And we find life again in his name. Perhaps he's even doing that in some of us here today. Perhaps even here today, he is at work showing us places where we've compromised too long, places we've kidded ourselves that the things we are doing are all right. And the devil, on the other hand, is saying, but wait, not yet. You can stop it later. It's not so bad. But dear brothers and sisters, listen to the Spirit. If today you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not reject him. Let that spirit of grace have full effect so that it turns to supplication and you are able to pray truly to the Father for forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that spirit bring you to pray, because without that spirit, you would not even want to pray. Secondly, without that spirit, we would not even be able to pray. And now I do not mean that we would not be able to say words of prayers. Anyone can physically open their word and say prayers. In fact, there are places where they pay singers to sing prayers. Even non-Christian singers to sing prayers they do not believe to a God they do not even think exists, as if that achieves something. But that's not praying prayers. God is not moved by just repeating words that get to our lips without going through our hearts. It achieves nothing. Prayer, according to Scripture, is prayer by the Spirit. You might think of Ephesians, where it says we are to pray at all times in the Holy Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Or Jude, it says, we're shown we're not to be like worldly people devoid of the Spirit. We're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer must be in the Holy Spirit. So what do we mean by this? Sometimes people have suggested perhaps that means praying in tongues, and that is a work of the Spirit. But it's also not a gift that is given to everyone. And so if everyone has to pray in the Spirit, that can't be what he's talking about. Others feel perhaps it's that emotional feeling. It is that feeling as you pray of being wrapped in the presence of the Spirit, the loving arms of our God. Perhaps that is praying in the Spirit. And it is true. Sometimes the Lord does comfort us as we pray. In that way, he cheers our soul. And that is very, very true. But actually, sometimes the very deepest prayers come out of a place of sorrow and suffering and desolation when we don't feel that way at all, like the prayers of our Lord from the cross. So what is it to pray in the Spirit? To pray in the Spirit is another biblical way of saying to pray with that faith and that assurance that we have through the Spirit. To pray with what the Spirit has given us. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit, or as Romans puts it, you have received the adoption as sons by which you cry, Abba, Father. We know that without faith it is impossible to please God, but what we see here is that by the Spirit we can come before him, loved and listened to by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even the Lord's Prayer, we prayed it earlier, starts that way, doesn't it? The Lord's Prayer is a true prayer in the Spirit, if we pray it with faith, if we pray it trusting that he is indeed our Father who is in heaven, who delights in our pleas. That is a prayer in the Spirit by faith. The riches of the prayer don't come by saying it 5 times or 10 times or 20 times, but by praying it even 1 time, by faith in the Spirit, to the Father through the Son. Let's guard ourselves against that danger of making prayer into a chore or a ritual or a rush of words. But let us take great pains to make sure that every prayer we pray is a plea from our hearts to our Father who loves us. So first, without the Spirit, we'd not want to pray. Second, we'd not be able to pray. And finally, we'd not be heard when we do pray. And here I want to start with Ephesians 2 and verse 18, which says that through him, that is through Christ Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. In that context, he's talking about both as Jews and Gentiles. That has huge implications for unity. But what I want us to notice today is this, that it has implications for access to the Father. We are united together to Christ by the Spirit to the Father. To put it more crudely, the Spirit brings us into that relationship with Christ, which means we can access the Father in prayer. It's kind of like what we picture in baptism. His death becomes our death, his life becomes our life, and in the same way, his access to the Father becomes our access to the Father by the one Spirit. And so if we have the Spirit, then by that same Spirit, we can be sure that the Father hears our prayers through the Son. And in fact, it's not only is this true, but the Spirit actually helps us in our prayers. Paul teaches us in Romans in chapter 8, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness by interceding for us with prayers we cannot hear according to the will of God. Perhaps we see that best in those moments when suddenly we see God has done some merciful and wonderful thing. And it's not an answer to our prayers, is it? It's an answer to the thing that we should have prayed, but we never did. A wonderful reminder that the Spirit intercedes for us in our weakness, according to the will of God. Not just uniting us to the Son, through whom we pray to the Father, but praying for us to the Father, as we should. I hope we've started to see today a little bit then that the Spirit really is important for our prayers. And without him, we wouldn't want to pray. We wouldn't be able to pray, and we wouldn't be heard when we pray. But what would it look like in our own lives? I want to say that I don't think that it should look like focusing our prayer more and more on the Spirit, strangely enough. The Spirit is God. And I'm sure that God would honor prayer to the Spirit. But actually, focusing our prayer more and more on the Spirit might be the opposite of what the Spirit is trying to do in our prayer. Because the Spirit's big aim in prayer is not to bring us to himself, but to bring us through the Son to the Father. And so, ultimately, praying in the Spirit looks like that. It looks like hearts turned by the Spirit, with faith given by the Spirit, in grace secured by the Spirit, crying out to the Father through the Son by the Spirit, confident in the Spirit that Father delights to hear us through the Son. Let's pray. Father, we pray this evening that you would grant us more and more the confidence and the assurance of faith, that we come to you as a loving Father, through your Son who gave himself for us. I pray, Father, particularly, that you would continue the work of your Spirit to empower every part of our prayers, to bring us in that confidence and assurance and faith that we know that you hear us and you will delight to answer us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.